Hi, and welcome to episode 13.5 of the Four Seasons Podcast. My name is Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
Now you're probably thinking to yourself, why is this episode 13.5? Well, why is it episode 13.5?
I made an oopsie, but I figured it out.
It's okay. So this is our second shot of it. You will never know what comedy gold you missed out on the first one. We're going to try to recreate the magic that was that first recording. Can we do it?
I think we can.
Well, whoever's listening isn't going to know because they're never going to hear the first one. So they're just going to assume by how much they laughed that this was the better version. And you and I will be forever the silent judges of whether that's true or not.
Yes, we will.
All right. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into the episode.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and do trivia. We'll jump right on into that.
All right.
So this week's trivia question is, what team won the very first NBA game in 1946?
Oh my goodness, I just, I couldn't even fathom a guess, to be honest with you.
Again, the question for all the listeners and you. What team won the very first NBA game in 1946?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have a feeling like I know what the answer is.
Oh, do you?
I do. Well, but we'll save that for later in the show.
Sounds good. Okay. So we're going to dive on into sports nuggies.
Yeah. So, as you might all be aware, and if you're not, you're finding out for the first time, Rachel and I were riding a Denver Broncos and fermented grape high.
Yeah.
The Broncos put a whooping on the Chargers last week. They look like such a great team. And then
Sunday night happened.
Sunday night happened, and they went out to Kansas City, to Arrowhead Stadium, and they dropped their trowel and laid a big fat growler right in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
No. They
played like doo-doo.
Yeah. We actually turned the game off and watched a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it was.
Well, it was a much better use of our time than watching the Broncos. On the plus side, Javonte Williams looked like an absolute stud.
He did a really good job.
I am so proud of him. I want to get a Javonte Williams jersey. I can't wait for Melvin Gordon to leave. So that way Javonte can be the main guy. I mean, it's just, the Broncos seem like they have so much talent, and they just have bad quarterback play and awful coaching.
Yeah. They are wasting their talent.
So.
Which is sad.
Yeah. But one thing that, well, besides Javonte Williams looking like an absolute stud, it also produced this little bit. So at one point, the Broncos went on a 20-play, 88-yard drive that took 11 minutes and 7 seconds and resulted in 0 points.
Okay.
And I thought, that has got to be some kind of NFL record, right? Like, there's no way that there's another team that took that long of a drive for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, it was not. It turns out that the longest drive, this is by time, by the way, in NFL history that resulted in no points, was on January 14th, 2001. The New York Giants defeated the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship game by a final score of, wait for it, 41-0.
Oh.
The Giants took the ball and closed out the game on a 19-play, 53-yard drive that took the last 12 minutes and 53 seconds off the game clock. Now, obviously, this is a much different situation than the Broncos. They knew the game was over. They wanted to get on to the Super Bowl. The Vikings knew the game was over. They wanted to get it done with and get on to their off season. So they let the Giants just kind of sit on the ball and take the air out of the ball, as they say. That's some NFL jargon for you. Not to be confused when Tom Brady takes the air.
I was hoping you would go there, because if not, I was going to go there.
Yep. Hashtag forever petty. That actually turns out, though, that is not the longest drive in NFL history. That's just the longest drive with...
No score.
No score.
Okay.
The longest drive in NFL history was on Thanksgiving Day, November 27th, 1997. The then Tennessee Oilers went on a 21-play, 90-yard drive that took 13:27 off the clock against the Dallas Cowboys. That drive ended up ending in a field goal.
Okay.
And Tennessee went on to win the game 27-14. So, I don't know if you're noticing a pattern here.
Yeah.
But it seems like the teams who hold on to the ball and take a lot of time off the clock usually win.
Yeah.
Unless they're the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Those are the little bit of nuggies I had for you. I was getting curious and trying to distract myself from the fact that the Broncos lost to the Chiefs. Oh, by the way, just another side note. The Broncos have now lost to the Chiefs 12 times in a row.
I was just about to ask that. How many times have they lost to the Chiefs?
Okay, it's 12. Cool. Patrick Mahomes has never lost to the Broncos.
That's sad. And he's been in the league for how many years?
I think it is his fifth.
I was going to say, isn't this his fifth year?
His fifth year, I think.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, he came in. So, his rookie year, he comes in last game of the year. The Chiefs are already in the playoffs, so they sit all their starters. Alex Smith is resting, so it's Patrick Mahomes' first start against the Broncos in Denver, his first NFL action. He beats them and has yet to lose to them. I am extremely terrified that the Broncos won't beat the Chiefs for the next...
20 years?
Well, I think he'll only be in the league for, well, maybe 20, who knows. Tom Brady's been in the league since 1973, so...
I was going to say, he could be the next Tom Brady.
Awesome.
I'm just saying, statistically, he could be in the league for another 20 years.
Well, statistically, as we've gone over before, Tom Brady has outplayed some of his teammates' fathers, so...
That is true.
So it's just to imagine Patrick Mahomes doing that and just ruining my Sundays for the next 20 years.
But think, they only play the Chiefs 2 times a year.
Oh.
That doesn't help the fact,
I know. No, not at all.
I was trying to enlighten
them. They're in the same division, so that means that's 20 years of us finishing with our faces in their butts. That's 20 years of the Broncos' season either being ended before the playoffs or in the middle of the playoffs by the Chiefs. Ugh. I don't want to think about it.
No. Well, for you not to think about it, I have some sports nuggies.
Give them to me. I love nuggies.
They're more on this day. Or on this date.
OTD.
OTD. So in 1988, the Milwaukee Bucks won their first, or they go to win their 100th and, or 1,000th, sorry. Ooh. 1,000th NBA game. They were the second fastest team to do so. In 1970, the Cleveland Cavaliers won their first NBA home game victory, beating the then-team Buffalo Braves, known as the Clippers today. That score ended up being 108-106.
Nail-biter.
Woo. But I thought that was fun. I mean, it's not. They both, started off there, so.
The most important thing is they're not derived from my sadness.
No. But a lot of history was made then.
Yep.
So that is my sports nuggies.
That is our sports nuggies.
Shall we get into the meat of it, as you said last week?
Yeah. Let's eat some meat.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to do a little thing that people would like to call the setup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like volleyball?
Sure.
Okay.
You can spike it home, I guess.
Or I guess tennis, right? Do they do setups in tennis?
No.
No. Okay.
They do serves.
Serves.
Which they also do in volleyball.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. I thought there were setups in volleyball, but...
There are setups in volleyball.
Okay.
So there's no setups in tennis.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Anyways, so your setup.
Yes. well, we got a couple things going on. It is a cold December night here where we're at, and there was the first snowfall of the season.
Of December.
We had
a tiny little snowfall not that long ago.
You're right. Fact check.
just had to be pointed out.
Yeah. The other thing is Monday Night Football just wrapped up a couple hours ago.
Yes. Go on.
It had just wrapped up the first time we recorded, so.
Yes. Go on.
And so it was in Buffalo, New York, and it was just terrible, terrible weather. You know, it was snowing. The wind was gusting. It was blowing so bad. I had to double check this, but so Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback, finished the game 2 for 3 for 19 yards. The Patriots rushed the ball 47 times and passed 3 times.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they won.
Okay. So it was a running game.
Oh, yeah. The wind there was so bad that you could hardly do anything.
I know they didn't kick a field goal like the first portion that I watched because they were running the ball in because it was so windy.
Yep. So anyway, with all these factors, we were like, well, of course our Fab Five should be on the top 5 bad weather games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
And I figured since I seem to always be going first.
I sure can go first.
Perfect. That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, I should keep going first. But
if you would like to go first.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So, my number 5. In 2009, the NLDS
National League Division Series. Yep,
for the baseball. It was...
The baseball?
The baseball. It was Phillies versus Rockies.
In the baseball competition.
The temps were in the mid-30s with a very strong wind gust, and the game lasted more than 4 hours. This is on my top 5 because mid-30s is not fun, but with very high, strong winds is not fun either. It was in Denver, so you know it's chilly.
I gotta just say, wind blows.
Yeah. But shh.
Thank
you. Is that better?
edit that in post.
Okay. The game lasted more than 4 hours. I wouldn't want to be out there.
I want to be out there for 4 minutes.
So in 4 hours, not wearing a jacket, wind chill, blowing. That's my number 5. Number 4 would be the 2013 Lions versus Eagles game with 8 inches of snowfall that was a full whiteout. The final score was 34-20 Eagles. I watched the video today while I was doing my research for the podcast. Yeah, I didn't want to be there.
No. And I'll tell you what, 8 inches is a ton. Some people don't see 8 inches in their lifetime.
Oh my God.
Of snow. They don't see 8 inches of snow.
No.
Like people who live in California or, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, people need to understand that 8 inches is a ton. Like, that's more than enough.
Yes.
Snow for it to be an absolute whiteout.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's my number 4. My number 3 is...
2 to 4 inches is average.
Okay.
Snowfall.
Good. My number 3 would be the Braves versus Rockies. Again, snow is on the diamond the beginning of the game that the volunteers had to go shovel off the diamond.
You know what else I saw? His little sneak preview. That game's on my list too.
Okay.
One of the people who went out to shovel the snow off the diamond was the team's GM at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least he did something for the team.
That might be the best thing he did for the Rockies.
I was going to say, at least he did something for that team.
Yeah. The only thing, probably.
So the game temperature was 23 degrees, making it the coldest game in MLB history. The game was in April, by the way. If you don't know Colorado, it can snow anytime. Either starting in April or ending in April, starting in October. But yeah.
Even then, it'll snow in May.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But yeah, this game was in April and 23 degrees. My number two pick would be the 2007 Week 12 game, Dolphins versus Steelers. This game was not cold. It was just rainy. Heavy rain made the traction very impossible. That the game ended in a very low score. It was 3-0, Steelers winning it, because they could not run the ball.
You can't even move. When it rains like that, it's like walking through an inflatable jumpy castle.
Yeah. It was that the game, both teams combined for 375 yards for the offense. That's how bad it was. It was a scoreless game until 17 seconds left in the game when they kicked the field goal.
They just let them.
They're like, it needs to end somehow. So
this,
here we go.
This is just awful. Please just end this.
So my number one pick is the 2007 NFC Championship game between the Giants and the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Oh, yeah.
It's already cold enough in Wisconsin, but that game dipped down into the negative 23 degrees. Ugh.
Is it ever not cold in Wisconsin?
I was actually looking, and it looks like even during the summer it gets to like 80.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, that's because if it gets any hotter, all the cheese will melt.
Or just because yucky.
And that's right. Like, that's all Wisconsin is, right? It's just a city made of cheese.
Yeah. So that is my number one because
cheese curds.
If I wouldn't want to be playing with the being out in the Rockies with the Rockies when they were mid-30s, I would not want to be negative 23 degrees.
No.
Doing that. That's going to be a hard pass for me.
I remember watching that game, and one of the things that stuck out the most to me was Tom Coughlin was the head coach of the Giants at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was old then. I mean, he's been old forever.
Yeah.
I think he was just born an old man.
Benjamin Button?
Yeah, except he didn't get younger. He just stayed
the same.
He just stayed the same. But the wind is blowing so hard, and it's just so cold. And his little old man cheeks were just pink, like pink, like
just rosy.
Oh yeah, more than rosy. It was like a
bright red.
Bright, yeah. Really, it was more bright red. And I was like, oh, that man has hypothermia.
Poor thing.
Yeah, well, he went to the Super Bowl and won it, so it all ended up roses, am I right?
Right, it worked out for him.
Yeah.
Get into your Fab Five. I'm interested to hear yours.
To start, what I kind of began to realize and notice when we were doing this is, of the four sports we talk about, well, one, we definitely talk about football way more than the other three.
Yeah, I noticed that this morning, too, especially when I was doing my social media content. I was like, I need to change that.
Yeah.
And I will be changing that.
It is. It's the middle of football season.
Yeah.
Football is a little bit easier to cover because it's all condensed down to 3 days of the week, basically.
And who clearly are better teams than not.
Yeah, well, basketball, you have several games on every night.
Yeah. Nuggets won tonight, though.
Heck yeah, they did.
So, there's that fun fact.
Who'd they play?
Blazers?
Yeah. All right.
I can double check on that.
Well, that's... Sorry, good for the Nuggets. Go Nuggets. The Avalanche beat the Flyers.
Okay.
So there you go. There's your...
Oh, Bulls. Sorry.
The Bulls.
Definitely way off. 97. Oh, no. Just kidding.
They lost.
I heard. I just saw that they won. It was 97-109. Dang it.
Sorry. Well,
I misled. Bummer. I misled that information.
Look up the Avs now because I want to make sure that they win.
I'll let you go ahead with your Fab Five and I'll, after that, I'll
do right.
The Avs.
Well, anyway, the point I was making was this is not the list for those other teams. The Avs did beat the Flyers 7-5. Yeah. I was looking over your shoulder, sorry.
Okay, no, you're good.
Basketball, played indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, although we do have cold weather games,
mm-hmm.
there's not any... I mean, inclement weather pretty much keeps them from playing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are occasions when weather plays a factor in baseball games. But it's not nearly as often as football. And then I was like, hockey's played indoors. And then I was like, well, there is the stadium series.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, last season, the Avalanche played the Golden Knights at Lake Tahoe, which looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked beautiful.
And it was too beautiful because the heat was affecting the ice.
Yeah.
They actually had to stop the game and then restart it in the evening. Mm-hmm. So, not... We're talking bad weather games. That was good weather game? Too good a weather? Too nice a weather?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess bad in a way for the situation because it's ice.
Yeah, I feel like if you're an organization such as the NHL, you really need to take things like that into consideration when you're deciding to play an outdoor game somewhere.
Not in a hot area.
Yeah.
But who, you know.
A little before that, though, the Avs played the Kings at the Air Force Academy Stadium, and that was super cool.
Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of good things about from different people about that game.
Yeah. And that one was,
that was
a good in game. Colorado in the winter at night.
Yeah.
So, no worry about the ice there.
No.
Anyway.
Yes.
That may or may not have been my sixth man.
Okay. Have you noticed, by the way, I don't have a lot of sixth mans anymore. You made the sixth man for me for my indecisiveness
and decision.
And now...
To be fair... We did do a few Fab Fives that didn't have that many options, so you didn't have to.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyways, so your number five pick.
I like how you changed the subject so fast. Like, oh no, he's making a good point there. Let's move it along. Okay. So you had this on your list as well. Number five on my Fab Five was the coldest game in MLB history. April 23rd, 2013, the Colorado Rockies and Atlanta Braves. As you mentioned, the temperature at first pitch was 23 degrees. That's Fahrenheit.
Yep.
For our out of the United States listeners.
Yeah.
Because apparently there is a handful of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but we thank you for listening.
Yes.
Arrivederci or whatever. Bonjour.
I don't know if we have any French, but sure. Well, anyways.
French-Canadian.
We do have French-Canadian.
Yeah. The Rockies went ahead and lost that game 4-3, because that's what they do.
Yeah, they're good at that.
Then, later that day, because they had... The reason they decided to play this game in the first place is they'd already canceled a few games that April. They didn't want to cancel anymore. So like you mentioned, they shoveled the field off and they went ahead and played. Well, then they had a makeup game for a game that had been postponed earlier. So they played a doubleheader. They lost again, this time 10-2. But the good news for them was at least the temperature rose significantly. It was a balmy 30 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 6 degrees make a difference.
Yeah.
7 degrees. Sorry. Yeah.
I was looking at the coldest games in MLB history.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the top five are all in Denver.
No surprise there.
This game, another game about a week earlier against the Mets, was 28 degrees, and then in 1997 they had a game against the Montreal Expos.
Okay.
French-Canadian.
You said that was 97?
97.
Okay.
29 degrees at first pitch. Washington Nationals were originally the Montreal Expos.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to get a expansion franchise, Montreal Expos. They have such gorgeous uniforms. I told you, I'm just a sucker for baby blue.
Yeah. Now, would you still want them to have the same exact uniforms as they did then for
yes. now? Yes. Okay. Don't change anything.
Okay.
Change bad.
Are you Frankenstein?
I don't know.
Okay, what that was. Anyways. Let's keep going.
All right. Number four was the Muck Bowl, as I saw it called online. I didn't know it was what it was called. Was also on your list. The same thing. It was 2007. It was a Monday night game. In the grand scheme of things, it didn't really have a big outcome on the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a random game with weird weather. But it was a game I remember watching in my childhood, and I always think about it when I think of bad weather games. The one highlight that really sticks out to me, and as I was watching, because they asked a lot of current Steelers players and mm-hmm. Dolphins players, hey, did you watch this game? They all pretty much said the same thing. I just remember that punt where they, in the course of the game, they had a punt where ball goes up, comes down, and it just sticks in the ground. It doesn't bounce. It doesn't roll. It just stops dead right there because the earth had received it and coddled it like it was a little baby.
You
didn't want to let it go? I didn't let it go. So I just thought that was a game that I always think of when I think of bad weather games.
Okay.
A lot of fun. Probably not to...
I was like, probably not for them.
Yeah, well, that's why they play the game and get paid millions, and I sit at home and watch it.
That is true.
Number three is the Fog Bowl. This was the 1988 NFC Divisional Playoff game between the Chicago Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Bears ultimately ended up winning 20-12, and this was in Chicago, and started the game. It was unseasonably warm for Chicago.
Okay.
And then the temperature drops, and around the second quarter, a fog just descends onto the field. And it was so thick that people in the stands, like I'm even talking like people who had front row seats, like right, you know, they could not see onto the field. They had no idea what was going on. The players on the field said they couldn't see the sideline. They couldn't see the down markers. They, of course, couldn't see the scoreboard because that's up in the stadium.
So they were just playing blind.
Basically, there was about 15 feet of visibility.
Hmm.
The really crazy thing is Randall Cunningham was the quarterback for the Eagles. He still ended up throwing for 407 yards during this game. They just couldn't find the end zone. Literally and metaphorically.
They
couldn't cross the plane, and truth be told, they probably couldn't see the plane. So
yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah, and terrible weather, and to just have a game dubbed the Fog Bowl, you know, it would have been pretty bad. Yeah. Number two for me is the Ice Bowl, and this one is one of the most legendary games in NFL history. It had just a slew of future Hall of Famers on both teams. Was Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. Vince Lombardi was the head coach of the Packers, who, as I'm sure you know, has the Super Bowl trophy named after him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's after the Lombardi. The Cowboys were coached by Tom Landry, another absolute legend. Temperature on the field was about negative 15 degrees.
Yep.
It dropped down to negative 48 with wind chill.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, the field, the Lambeau Field actually at the time had a turf heating system, and it malfunctioned, and it left moisture on the field. So the field was literally frozen.
It was like resulting in ice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's part of the reason why it was called the Ice Bowl. I think I mentioned it already, but the Packers won 21-17.
Okay, yeah.
And that was the 1967 NFL Championship game.
Hmm.
Now that was before the NFL, because it used to be the NFL and the AFL.
Yeah.
It was before they merged, so.
Okay.
No, wait. I apologize. So this was back before the AFL and the NFL merged. So the NFL winner would play the AFL winner mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl. So this was for the right to go to Super Bowl II. So Packers won 21-17, ended up going on and winning Super Bowl number two.
Okay.
And they were number two on my top five bad weather games. Number one is commonly referred to as the Tuck Rule game.
Hmm. I came across this one.
Yeah. AFC divisional round. New England Patriots Oakland Raiders before they moved to Vegas. Patriots end up beating the Raiders 16-3 on January 19th, 2002.
Aww.
On my 10th birthday.
Bet you don't remember that.
I really don't. I don't know. I'm curious to what I was doing that day. I'll tell you where I was not, and that was not in New England, where a blizzard hit the East Coast and just dropped buckets of snow. It was one of the most intense games ever played. Temperature was around 25 degrees, so a little bit warmer than the ice bowl.
Yeah.
Still probably not a ton of fun to play in.
No.
The big thing people, of course, talk about with this game is the tuck rule, where Tom Brady gets hit as he's quote-unquote releasing the ball. And it really looks like he's bringing it back into him. It probably should have been ruled a fumble, but due to the nature of the call or the letter of the rule, his arm is going in a forward motion. They rule it an incomplete pass. New England keeps the ball. They end up going on to win the game. There's a lot more that goes into that if you want to do your own deep dive.
Yeah.
And just see all the analysis on that, because it might be one of the most overanalyzed single plays in sports history. Feel free, but I'm just going to cap it at, it was a crazy game. There was lots of snow, super memorable, and a good chance it was one of the big things that catapulted Tom Brady into GOAT status. They go on to win this game. They go on to win that Super Bowl. And 20 years later, basically, Tom Brady's still in the league and still winning Super Bowls.
There you go.
Yep. So that is my Fab Five.
Okay, so we're going to go back to trivia. So the question again was, what team won the very first NBA game in 1946?
All right. I'm not going to pretend like I knew the answer to this.
Okay.
I will tell everyone that my original answer, the first go-around, was the Milwaukee Bucks. And then you went ahead to tell me that I was close in proximity geographically. And then you revealed the answer was the New York Knicks.
Yes.
So if anybody
would like to give Rachel a
if anybody wants to send Rachel a picture of the map of the United States.
I was meaning it was more northern. Anyways, yes.
I can guarantee you it's not a team in Canada.
Yes, you're right. It's not a team in Canada.
As a matter of fact, if you had said it's a state close to Canada, that would have been a better hint than it's close to Milwaukee. I just actually, you know what? we're sitting right here.
I will read the description. Okay, so yes. The New York Knicks won the first NBA game in history on November 1st, 1946. At the time, NBA was called BAA. The basketball game took place in Toronto, Canada. The game was between the New York Knicks and the Toronto Huskies.
It's a 2-hour, 15-minute flight from Milwaukee to New York.
At the Maple Leaf Gardens, that it drew over 7,000 spectators, and the Knicks won 68-66. That is our sports trivia.
Just to put it in perspective, it's 2 hours and 36 minutes to go from Orlando to New York.
Okay.
So
okay, I am sorry. I was trying to say more northern, and it came out you were close in proximity.
I think you should be allowed to give me hints when we do the trivia, because your hints don't actually help at all. In fact, they make it harder.
See, I try to trick you.
I'm like Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't know, Indiana, Ohio, and you know what? I might be a few states off, but I guarantee I'm closer than New York.
But see, it keeps you on your toes.
I don't need to be kept on my toes. If I already don't know the answer, you don't.
Well, I know you know your your sports stuff. Warmer. So...
You're warmer, warmer. No.
Yeah. Anyways, so that was this week's sports trivia. If anyone has any sports trivia and some actual logical answers, Mike would like to say, you can send us them at the Four Seasons Podcast. You can send us to them at the Four Seasons Podcast on Facebook or the Four Seasons Pod at gmail.com.
Maybe if you want to include a hint that makes sense, that would be cool too.
Now we'll move on to what we're looking forward to this week. I know you have a few good things that you're looking forward to this week. So if you want me to start it off, I can.
Yeah, please go ahead and start it.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to hot chocolate. We've been getting into a hot chocolate kick lately with the boys.
Yes, we have.
And I'm looking forward to having more movie nights and hot chocolate nights.
You know, it's good because we have so much hot chocolate. As a matter of fact, I think we pulled out a hot chocolate that expired in 2016 the other day.
Really?
That Ghirardelli one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that wasn't before we did the hot chocolate bar. No, that was while back, though.
It wasn't that long ago. No, it wasn't. We were going through you're like, do you want to keep this one? And I was like, I don't know. I don't really drink it. And you're like, well, we should probably throw it away because it expired 5 years ago.
I didn't realize it until I was putting it back. I looked at the back. I was like, cool. Yep. But we've been doing so much hot chocolate. I also do hot chocolate and coffee and make it kind of like a mocha, which is actually really good, by the way.
I make it like a mocha.
That we're now running low of our hot chocolate. So we do need to supply that.
That's fine, because what I'm looking forward to is going out, ditching our children in the most loving way possible. Yeah. Because last week they missed their sleepover. Mm-hmm. Because poor David was feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yeah.
And while that happened, he lost a tooth.
Yes, actually, while kind of drinking hot chocolate.
Yeah.
It was a cute, funny story. So while he was sick, I made a hot chocolate bar for him. Crushed the peppermint, did the marshmallows, a little sprinkle, whipped cream. It's actually quite nice. So that was Saturday night. So Sunday, he wanted another hot chocolate. He asked for me for more peppermint, so I put in the peppermint. And we go into the living room. We're watching the start of the horrific Broncos-Chiefs game. And he goes into the kitchen, comes back. I don't think anything of it. And then he smiles at me, and I'm like, okay, like, that's cute. Like, he's smiling at me. And then I'm like, David, did you lose your tooth? And he, like, he was like surprised, and I was like, did you just throw your tooth away? And he runs into the kitchen, and then he starts crying. He's like, I thought it was a piece of peppermint. And I was like, oh, he thought it was a piece of peppermint because it was white and it had a little bit of red on it.
Blood.
But the thing was, he didn't cry until he threw his tooth away. So I don't know if it was like really loose throughout the day. And when he either ate a piece of peppermint or his lunch or something, it just kind of came out. And then when he just, or if he thought a piece of peppermint was stuck in his tooth and he was trying to pick it out and he pulled out his tooth.
I don't know. All I know is that's gangster. It's a man's man.
So, yeah, David lost his first tooth.
Yeah.
So, that was my cute, fun story. But yeah. Yes, you're looking forward to our little... Day extravaganza.
Yeah, I'm really excited on Saturday. We're going to go drop them off. They're going to have a sleepover at Grandma's. And you and I are maybe going to go grab some lunch.
Yep.
I'm going to take you to that place where they make the food in front of you.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah. Subway. And
Yeah. That is very true. Yeah.
Because I know how to take care of my lady.
Yep.
And then we're going to go do a little bit of Christmas shopping. We're going to bring it home. We're going to do a little wrapping party. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch some Christmas movies.
little bit of eggnog.
A little bit of nog.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
I think we'll have a nice weekend.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Me too.
I think I'm going to wear a sweater to work tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Because it's the little things, you know?
Yeah. Keep it classy.
Yep. That's all I do.
Yep.
Sassy and classy. And brassy.
Okay. I don't know about the brassy part, but...
Get a little bit gassy.
No. Let's just keep going.
And then I fart in Target.
Don't.
And then I'm trashy.
Stop. Stop. Anyway.
You know, if you fart in a Target, it's considered trashy. If you fart in a Walmart, it's considered polite.
Gross. Oh, my goodness. Let's just...
That's some Larry the Cable Guy humor. I can't believe I said that.
Let's just kind of maybe wrap it up a little bit.
Ah, because it's Christmas.
Or should we put a bow on this episode?
Hell yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Well, from the Four Seasons Podcast, I'm Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
Enjoy the rest of your days.